Chase Brown, I believe, is going to make a presentation to us regarding the winter warming room. Morning, Chase.
Good morning. It's Chance Brown, but good morning. Thank you for having me this morning. I return because the issue I raised in past delegations remains unresolved. The Ontario Human Rights Commission has already warned of the municipality of Cobourg that its current approach risks violating human rights. Despite this, the same harm continues. First week of the county warming room operations, they do have many things right and amazing, and it's working. You provide heat, safety indoors, coffee, snacks, gift cards, transportation, and respectful interactions. Staff at Integrated Security have shown compassion and professionalism that deserves recognition. I thank them for that. Although one issue overshadows everything, human beings are not allowed to sleep. Security must keep people awake at night, not because it's safer or because they want to, because mandates from the town of Cobourg and provincial fire code and zoning regulations incorporated into this bylaw, which prohibits sleeping in non-designated areas, also written with the Ontario Standards Act. We're denied the necessity of life and survival that every person requires rest. If you see me shaky and agitated right now, I've probably got about 6 or 7 hours in the past 3 days of sleep. One of those times being 4 or 5 hours of solid sleep over a vent beside the entrance of the warming room. I'm telling you not for the first time, and what the OHRC has already communicated to the town of Cobourg, that sleep deprivation is harm. And it is trauma, and it's happening for the second winter in a row. I'm sure as the homeless case managers here are simply working and helping us out, they can see the problems that are happening, and mostly I would assume it's related to sleep deprivation. And just, you could say, waking up on the wrong side of the bed or not knowing where the bed is at all. You know, I've seen people cry because, you know, they haven't slept in days. You know, I've watched security staff feel guilt because they have to wake someone who is detoxing, some are grieving, some are mentally collapsing, you know, and they're just trying to stay alive. This isn't a fire safety or zoning issue, it's human rights. The Ontario Human Rights Code protects people with disabilities, including mental health disabilities, substance use disorder, brain injury, cognitive impairment, trauma, and chronic illness. These are the exact people, like myself, accessing the warming room. The OHOCR has warned until about is no longer theoretical, but real, and happens nightly. And it is the county's sanction because the county operates under the town's restrictive interpretation. When people cannot sleep, cannot stabilize, which means they can't recover, and so they remain homeless. Your policy is reinforcing this cycle because the governing rules are not being updated to reflect the basic human rights, medical reality, or lived experience. I'm asking for the simplest solution possible. It's just a humane accommodation request to allow people to sleep in a chair without being woken up, maybe dim the lights, but just let someone lean on their head down, you know, close their eyes uninterrupted. It won't require more funding, renovation, or service expansions. All it needs is an updated interpretation of your operational authority, and that's reasonable and centers safety and human rights. The second recommendation I have is raised before me, and one that countless municipalities across Canada already use, is a paid peer-led nighttime outreach team from Northumberland County. When each team has a trained peer worker with lived and living experience and one of the counties or social service staff members who would work during those hours. Virtually no services currently exist such as that. They would provide wellness checks, outreach to different encampments that still exist, food, water, and warm clothing, crisis prevention and de-escalations, and on-the-spot screenings, getting connected to county services. This model is used in Kingston, Peterborough, Belleville, and Toronto, and Ottawa, to name a few. It works because peers can go where others can't, both physically and emotionally. Peers are trusted, they understand, and they save lives. And when people receive support at night, communities experience fewer shelter bottlenecks, mental health crisis checks, police calls, emergency room visits, encampment fires, exposure deaths, and overdoses. It is morally right and operational smart and financially responsible. You already have the foundation of outreach staff, nurses, security, and agency partnerships that would simply fill the most dangerous gap, that gap being the hours where no one is looking. The OHRC has already cautioned this municipality that restrictive interpretations of the bylaw can result in discrimination against people experiencing homelessness. My previous delegations and other community members have asked for action. I'm asking you to end the sleep deprivation immediately by allowing people to rest at the warm rooms and fund and implement a peer-led night outreach team to reach those people who fall to the service gap. So uphold human rights, reduce suffering, support staff, improve safety, prevent crisis, and save lives. It's not political or controversial. It's just human. You know? Thanks for listening. You know, write your work and help with these agencies. I'm not saying I'm one of these candidates, but there's many people out there that have the training that can run these peer-led initiatives and can definitely do something. When we get displaced in the morning in the warming rooms and someone's had a bad morning, that person is now in the town and it's going to be seen quite easily in those moments of heat without that outreach team to see them in the early hours when they're displaced or in the night when they can't come in here. I can really change something just by listening to them and giving them the time of day.
Thank you, Chance, and I appreciate you correcting me on it. So I won't call you Chase again. Members of committee, do you have any questions or comments? Go ahead, Deputy Borden.
Thank you for that presentation. And actually, my question is directed to staff in relation to what we've just heard. So the question is, Rebound has recently started an innovative night stop program for youth 16 to 24 that are low to medium acuity using volunteers in the community. So it ties back to Councillor Wilden's previous conversation, and it provides overnight shelter from one night to, I believe it's actually six weeks in duration. Has there ever been a contemplation of scaling up that night stop program for other age groups throughout Northumberland County?
Associate Director.
Through you, Chair, we are looking, we're working with Rebound and monitoring how that program goes. We are always looking for innovative ways to improve our services, so it's something that could be looked at. I know part of the rationale for Night Stop is that there is not a formal shelter that serves the needs of that population. We do have an adult serving shelter here in Northumberland. Unfortunately, it is predominantly at capacity every single night.
You know, and I appreciate that. I think there's an important distinction, though, in terms of this particular program does offer the ability for that age group from 16 to 24 to not only access shelter, but also to be able to sleep.
Thank you. Any other? That the Social Service Committee received a delegation from the following individual, Chance Brown, regarding winter warming room for information. Moved by Deputy Warden Hankifsky and seconded by Warden Ostrander. If you have a just hold on. Go ahead, Councillor Cleveland, if you have a comment.
Well, yeah, it's more of a comment just to correct some of the things that were misspoken to in the presentation. DEC bylaw has nothing to do with whether the individuals are allowed to sleep in the warming room or not. That's all based on provincial building standards, fire standards, and safety standards. These codes are only enforced through the EC bylaw, but the actual rules that prevent people from sleeping in a random room have nothing to do with the EC bylaw. That's only the method with which those rules are enforced. The rules of where people can sleep type of bedrooms, how they sleep, where they sleep, what rooms are allowed are all set out in the provincial laws and rules that regulate our fire standards, our building standards, and our occupancy standards. That has absolutely nothing to do with anything to do with the ECE bylaw. The ECE bylaw is simply the method by which Coburg ensures all members and within the borders of Coburg are meeting provincially stated standards. We heard several times during the presentation that it's the ECE bylaw that Coburg has and Coburg has. Coburg has yet to be admonished by the Ontario Human Rights Commissioner. A letter was sent over 3 years ago asking questions. Those were answered and no such follow-up has ever happened from the Ontario Human Rights Commissioner. In fact, there is no concerns around it because they were addressed almost 3 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. All in favor? That motion is carried.